frequently. I'm not sure we need to set a schedule, but just maybe God would lead. We can be a praying congregation, and I think we are, and I hope we will continue to be that. I'm going to read to you from Philippians. This morning, I just want to, I don't really know what's going on with me this morning, but I just want to kind of share with you my prayer for Point Remove. I think part of what's wrong with, well, there's a lot, there's more wrong with me than I could ever name. But I mean, part of what's going on is, you know, 6 years ago, this was my last Sunday at Macedonia, my first time to come here. I've been here 6 years, and it's been absolutely fantastic. I thank you with all my heart, and I guess that's part of it, you know, just 6 years. But my prayer for Point Remove starts with personal pastoral improvement. I'm reminded of, I'm going to get to Philippians here in a minute. I'm reminded of Solomon. You may remember when God came to Solomon and he said, look, I'll give you anything you want. You know, like a genie's bottle. Remember that? First Kings. I think it's chapter 3. And he came to Solomon and said, look, what do you want? You know, you can have anything you want. Y'all remember that? What would I have said if God had given me that option? Well, I don't like to think about that. Solomon, though, you may remember, asked God not for money, not for wealth, not for power, not for fame, not for long life. Solomon did not ask God for relief from suffering or any of that. Amen. He asked God for wisdom. Y'all remember, don't you? And he told God, he said, because you know what, Solomon's king. He's the king of Israel now. He's following in the line of his father David. He's king in Israel. God says, what do you want? He said, wisdom. And Solomon said, this is Gary Harvey's opinion of Gary Harvey. Solomon said, I am but a child. And I don't know how to go in and out among so great a people. So, I need the same thing that Solomon asked for, and that is wisdom from God's word, and I want to improve. I want to do better. I have a fear of my ministry, my preaching efforts especially, growing stale and boring and stuff. I mean, I do. I don't know how you stand it. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear me preach. But I worry about that, and I don't want that to happen. I don't want it to happen, but I can't. You know, I've got to have God. I've got to have help. I've got to have your prayers. I've got to have all of that in order for that to happen. And that I would never take the glory of the gospel for granted. I appreciate whoever it was that prayed about the finished work of Christ and what he's done for us. And I hope that we'll never depart from that in any way whatsoever, but that'll be the bedrock that we build our lives on and the bedrock that we build our ministry here at Point Remove on. God's mercies are new every morning. That's the way I hope we can all feel, and especially that I can feel about God's word, about God's service, about the labor in the kingdom of God. And it is a labor. Amen. It is a labor. It takes work. It takes effort. Does it not? Every day we've got to, Every day we wake up and we have to deny the flesh. Isn't that right? Some of us wake up happy, and some of us wake up grouchy. Well, or maybe the better way to say that is some of us have trouble waking up. Right? And so those of us that wake up happy have to be be careful that we're not obnoxious to those who are having trouble waking up. Just as one little example, and we've got to work at it, don't we? And every day, we need the grace of God and the mercy of God and the strength of God to deny the flesh, do we not? To keep those carnal urges, at least to some degree, under control of the inner man. Amen. Oh, the worst thing we could do would be to turn our carnal nature loose. Amen. So we have to work at it some. It's a work. And also, before I read Philippians, the other thing I as a minister of the gospel, as a local assembly of baptized believers and congregants, I hope that we will never depart our standing on God's word, on our trust in it, our belief in it, our absolute confidence in the veracity of God's word. It is the word of God. Can you say amen? And it is in English, and we can read it. Now, my friends, do we always understand it? Oh, my goodness. Becky asked me questions I cannot answer. And the problem with the Bible, the problem with the Word of God is not the English in which it's written. I assure you. Do you believe me? The English is just right. The problem, the reason it's difficult to understand at times is the subject matter. It's about God. It's about how God saves his people from their sins by grace plus nothing. The blood of Jesus plus nothing. I hope we will always love that and stand on it and preach it and share it, because understanding that saves us, doesn't it? But there's also salvation in God's word in being obedient to his daily commands, the moral requirements. There's salvation in that as well, is there not? Oh, my. Okay, now, as I read in Philippians chapter 1, let me say again, I'm so thankful for the growth that has taken place here at Pointer Moon. I mean, I could name a bunch of stuff. I don't know that that's necessary. But just let me say one thing. I'm very thankful for the younger folks, the younger generations that are coming on and taking a hold and taking leadership positions as the church continues to survive and grow. I'm so thankful for that. And you are to be commended in so many ways. Absolutely. And I do commend you. But I'm not going to tell you that it's time to quit. It is not. It seems to me the world grows darker and darker. I don't know that that's true. I know the stuff I hear gets crazier and crazier. Right? I mean, there's stuff propagated nowadays that was unheard of 30 years ago. Crazy, immoral stuff. Whether the world's actually darker or not, I don't know. But I do know that the world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. America needs it. Russellville, Arkansas needs it. You and I need it. The longer I live, the more I'm convinced that the answers to the questions that trouble mankind are contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they are not contained anywhere else. They simply are not. They're not taught anywhere else. Too many of the educational systems in the world teach against the things that are contained in God's word. Right? So we need to depend on God's word. Do I understand it all the time? No. But when I read it and don't understand it, may God help me never to question the truth of it. It's just I don't know what's in it yet. I'm so thankful for all. I'm thankful for the young people. I embarrass the young people all the time. I don't mean to embarrass them. Maybe it's the teacher in me. I don't know. I like being around young people. It allows me to delude myself that I too am young. Well, I mean, when I'm with young people, I feel young. And as long as I'm not looking in the mirror, I can delude myself. That I am young. And I'm so thankful for the youth in our congregation. My prayer is that they too will be strengthened by the word of God. Because they're the ones that have all their, they've got a lot of life to live yet. They're going to be going through some stuff that I've gone through. And I know some of what that's about. Amen. This is the dilemma that I have concerning my son John in the ministry. You know, I know what he's going through. I know exactly where he is. I know. And I know what he needs. I know the strength that he needs. You understand what I'm saying? I can't give it to him. It's only from God. Only God can give it to him. And the young people in this congregation who are going to go through things need the strength of God. Guess where you're going to get it? From God's word. That's where you're going to get it. And a church that teaches it. And the young, maybe more than the rest of us, need to be dedicated to God's house and God's word. Because I'm going to tell you, God's word is going to give you the stuff you need to have a successful marriage. Say amen, church. God's word is going to give you the stuff you need to have a successful marriage. God's going to tell the men how to be the proper husband and father and the spiritual leader in the home. Young men, are you thinking about that? God's word is going to tell the ladies how to be a proper, godly, submissive wife and mother. It's in God's word. You will not be taught that in the English department at Arkansas Tech. God's word will tell the young how to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And therein, see there, so we're passing this thing along and the generations are getting stronger. You see what I'm saying? That's the way this thing is supposed to work. Hallelujah, it can work that way. And I think it is working that way. Now, having said that, I want you to read with me now in Philippians chapter 1. This week I've thought a lot about the prayers that the Apostle Paul put in his epistles to the churches that he wrote to. He put prayers to almost all of them. I mean to Corinth, first and second epistle, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Ephesus, and lots of places, Rome. Paul would put in his epistle that he sent to the church his prayer for that local church. Isn't that interesting? He was a pastor. He carried those churches in his bosom. And he prayed for them. And in his prayer to Philippians, one reason I took this one up, it's shorter. And it also, it says so much in a little space. Verse 8, Philippians 1, start with verse 8. And I'm just going to read 8, 9, 10, and 11. Make a few comments. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for participating in the prayer service. I thought it was wonderful. If we just had dismissed after the prayer service, it would have been worth being here. May God help us to be. You remember, this is the house of prayer. That's what Christ said. My house shall be called the house of prayer. For God is my record. You know what he's saying? He's saying God knows what I'm fixing to tell you is so. God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Now the word bowels in the scripture doesn't mean guts. When we think of that, that's what we think of it. It doesn't mean guts. You know what it means? It means deep inner compassion and love and mercy for. What is Paul saying to the church here at Philippi? He's saying, God knows. God knows that I have the greatest compassion and love and mercy for you, the church at Philippi. Deep concern and compassion. Compassion in the scripture is not just us sitting around feeling sorry for somebody. Compassion is what leads us to help and do and try to make a difference. That's what compassion does. So Paul is saying, I have compassion for you. I have love for you to such a degree, as he told the church of Corinth, that I am willing to spend and be spent for you. Isn't that amazing? And I will say to you, I'm not going to say on the same level as the Apostle Paul. I would never do such a thing. But I will say that I have a similar desire and love for this congregation. And what I want to do is be a better pastor and a better preacher and a better minister and a better servant of you in every way. I want to make improvement. I want to do better. I mean it. Now, some of there might be people in the congregation that are saying, well, I tell you things and you don't take it very well. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I got a flesh too. I got a carnal nature too. Anyway, God is my record. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Now, I want to pause right there, and I want to say to Point Remove Church, there is no doubt in my mind that you are a loving group of people. Did you know that's what attracts people? That's why visitors come here. It's one of the things I hear from people that come to visit Point Remove is how you're such a loving congregation. It just oozes out of you. And I've said this to you before, I say to you again. Paul said to one group, I don't remember where, he said, but this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Here's how they're going to know. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Before I say what he said, let me tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say it because you've got the right articles of faith. Although we need to have the right articles of faith. Amen. We need to teach the truths of God's word, don't we? Whatever God's word is, we need to teach it. Isn't that right? Okay, what if the truths of God's word don't suit the palate of society? What are we going to do? If the truths of God's word do not suit the palate of society, what are we going to do? We better teach God's word. Be as nice as we can about it. But we must ever stand on the truths of God's word. Amen. But the Lord did not say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you got the right articles of faith. You know what he said? He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love. One to another. That is, oh, isn't that great? I've said to you before, I say to you again, and I say unashamedly, we need more members at Point Remove. And that's just all there is to it. But the thing that's going to get visitors back is not my great preaching. That is not what's going to get them. What's going to make them want to come back is the love that you show them as a congregation. Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, and I say to you, I pray that your love, which you exhibit, which you show, which it oozes out of you, may abound yet more and more. Amen. I've thought about this so much. I used to tell my students, I love you with all my heart. I've told you that, haven't I? I love you. I would tell a student, I love you with all my heart. And then I would tell another student, I love you with all my heart. But sometimes I'd tell a male student that, and he didn't know what to think at first. But he'd get it figured out, what I meant by that. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my heart. How can you do that, Mr. Harvey? How can you love me with all your heart and love him with all your heart too? How can you do that? Well, it's because love's of God. See, love's a blessing of God. It's like God. It's infinite like God. Love is such a tremendous thing. Isn't it great? I can love you with all of my heart. And I can love somebody else with all my heart too, because it's love's of God. It's like God. It's infinite. It's never ending. And I love the fact that love is also one of the most incredible things, because love is unconditional, isn't it? Moms and dads love their children, don't they? And they love their children whether their children deserve it or not. Thank God it's that way. Amen. That's what's so, love is so great. It's such a tremendous thing. This love that I described to you, by the way, is a gift of God, is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't have this kind of love. I'm describing this selfless, self-denying, self-crucifying love for others if you're not born of God. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. But then that's why it's so important that we show this to others. Isn't it great? I love Seth with all of my heart. I love John with all of my heart. I love Becky with all of my heart. I love Babu with all of my heart. All at the same time. In fact, sometimes I think the more people we have to love, the happier we will be. What do you think? Well, if that's true, wouldn't it be better if we had more people to love at Point Remove? Now, I can't make that happen. And I'm not up here. Listen, I am not up here. I hope you will not interpret what I'm saying this morning as any form of browbeating, any form of condemnation. It is no such thing. It is my prayer that God will bring this about, that God will perpetuate this, that God will help us. Do you understand? I am not condemning you or scolding you in any way, okay? Because I know only God can bring this about. But I hope that he will, and I hope that we'll pray that he will, and that we'll take the opportunity to make it happen if it happens, if we can. Okay? I pray that you, so he said, and I say to you, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. But then notice now, in knowledge, your love is in knowledge, and, there's the J word. Oh, no. What? The J word. Judgment. Uh-oh. That's so important. Our love must be in knowledge, and our love for others must also be in judgment. Judgment is not a dirty word. Y'all with me? We are commanded in God's word to judge righteous judgment. Now in the Bible, here I think what we need to do, we need to increase in love more and more. We need to love God more and more. We need to love Christ more and more. We need to love each other more and more. Isn't that right? And y'all, we need to love those that are outside our camp, outside our number. We need to love them more and more too. But that love does not mean that we just say anything goes. We are to love them in knowledge. We are to love each other in knowledge. Love each other in judgment. Love, my friends, is not ignorant. In fact, sometimes I think, you know, let me put it this way. The people, how to say this without being potentially offensive. Okay, let me just say it this way. Would you not agree that sometimes the longer we know a person and the more we know about them and more than we know their faults and failures, it's almost like you can say it's harder to love them. Now, I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but it's like more miraculous that we love them. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you, Jeannie. I guess the way to say that is I'm very thankful that the people that know me best still love me. Are you with me? So love, that's so wonderful. You know, love doesn't stop because you mess up. Love, Dad, you don't turn love off because of that. Right? By the way, God doesn't either. Hallelujah. God's love does not stop when we mess up. Otherwise, none of us would be loved. God would have to turn the faucet off for me. He'd say, buddy, you're history. God would put me out like a candle. That'd be it. That'd be the end of me. So love in knowledge and then in judgment. I love to think about that because, see, true love, if I really love you and if you really love me and if I really love my children and if I love my students, and if we love the lost sheep of the house of Israel, we will lovingly tell them when they go astray and try to bring them back into the straight and narrow, because we know the salvation that is in walking the straight and narrow and the destruction that lies in the broad way. Amen. That is real love, isn't it? Okay. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. The dreaded J word. We have to have judgment. I mean, we make judgments all the time, which I better not get off on that. Verse 10. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Now notice, the things are excellent whether you approve of them or not. I love that, don't you? The things are excellent. By the way, guess who says they're excellent? God Almighty says they're excellent. There are lots of excellent things. Wonderful things, things that excel, things that are high above, things that are beyond. They're excellent things. The problem is, too many people nowadays in the world we live in don't acknowledge that they are excellent things. Right? And I can name some, but I won't. He says here, he's praying that the church at Philippi, and I pray, the point removed, we'll continue to approve the things that are excellent. Let us approve. Let us put our stamp of approval on the excellent things of the Word of God. On the excellent things of life. On the excellent things of serving God. Put your stamp of approval on it. Oh, I don't know why I thought about this. How many of you, when you were a kid, sent your lover a note and said, I love you, when you were in the fifth grade or third grade, or and you put, I love you. Do you love me? Check one. Y'all ever do Let's put our stamp of approval on the excellent things of Almighty God. Let's approve of them. By the way, that means out loud. That means before a decaying world. That means you have to stand for some things that people think are, you know, people are going to be offended by our stance, not by the way we stand, though, but by our stance. I'm sorry, we have to approve of the things that are excellent. God says they're excellent. Look, if God says it's excellent, you know what I can do? I can mark it down. It's excellent. You know, if it's, you know, that's all there is to it. That you may approve things that are excellent. And I think without even saying it, he says, you need to disapprove of things that are not excellent. Disapprove of that. See, that's where the dreaded J word comes in. The dreaded J word. You know, approve the things that are excellent. If God says something's not excellent, we need to acknowledge that as well. Isn't that right? All these things contained in God's holy word. I'm not saying you're not doing that. I'm saying let's keep on keeping on. In fact, I'm going to be honest with you, my friends. I think if the world continues on, it may get more difficult for us to do these things in the world we live in. It may get more difficult. What are we going to do? Let's band together more and more. Let's love each other more and more. Let's stand on these things more and more. Let's dedicate ourselves more and more to serve God, to be a bright light. If the world gets darker, let's try to shine brighter. Okay? That you may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere. That means not only pure, it means pure, but it also means not fake. Not fake. The Bible says a lot about unfeigned faith. Unfeigned faith. In other words, be real in your service to God. Be real about it. Have true faith in God. Trust God. And let it show. Don't. The worst thing, the thing that Christ was the hardest on during his own personal ministry was Phariseeism. Right? People that wanted to look good on the outside, but they were, he said, they were not so good on the inside. Remember that kind of people? The Lord was against them all the time. He was on their case all the time. Sincere. And without offense. Okay. Without offense. Does that... What that means is, as much as possible, if the truth of God's word offends people, just the truth of it offends people, I am unable to fix that. But now, the way in which I present it, I don't want to be mean. And Lenny was making fun of me because I say that, and then I'm mean. She said, every time you say that, you're mean. Well, yeah. How long did the Apostle Paul want the church of Philippi to do these things? Till the day of Christ. What does that mean? Till the end. Important move? It is possible, through the grace of God and our diligent efforts, that this church could be here when Christ returns. It is possible. And nothing I would love. I'm already looking forward to our 200th anniversary party. 2033, we're going to have a 200th anniversary shindig of some kind or other. 2033, 200 years. And I may retire shortly after that. But anyway, 200 years, that's great, isn't it? What about the next 200? You follow what I'm saying? The apostle wanted the church of Philippi to do these things till Christ came back. And I'm going to stop there. Now, I didn't read verse 11, but that's okay. You can read verse 11. Now, I want to give everybody here that hadn't joined the church and that has a desire to do so, if the Lord's working in your heart this morning, if he's stirring you, the Lord is, you can refuse to obey God. Yes, you can. But I recommend that you don't.